Blog Talk Radio.
You know what it is, right? It's not your average Tuesday. We start early today. I'm actually starting a full 5 minutes earlier than I told everybody. I'm doing a little sneaky shit right now. Nah, I'm just playing. We gonna get ready. We doing this shit live, and for your listening pleasure. We're getting this in right now. Here's what we're going to do today, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to have an hour of Not Your Average Tuesdays. We're going to talk about Week 13 game scores and highlights. We're also going to talk about Week 14, what to expect, the last few teams on bye, and how the AFC is now run by the New England Patriots. And the New England Patriots are now the best team in the NFL. The Lombardi Trophy runs through Foxborough. And I think that's an interesting topic we're going to get into on maybe later today. But as... we proceed to give you what you'll need. You know, I always tell you that one thing, the one phrase. How about we just do it right now? Intro time. No. Just kidding. If you didn't hear us yesterday, it was not an anomaly. We were missing yesterday some technical issues. We'll be back today, which we are doing with Not Your Average Tuesday. We're going to have Giants venting hours starting at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Again, Giants venting hours, 7 p.m. Eastern Tuesday, December 7th, 2021. Go ahead and download that, get that, you know, knock it out the park, Rick. You know how we do it. So tomorrow, don't forget to tune in for Debate Wednesdays with Black Freezy. Also on Thursday, Thriving Thursdays, we'll be back with LRP, East Style Fridays. There is a lot to cover on East Style Fridays because I know we're going to get into a lot of it. Hawkeye, MCU, Spider-Man, Venom, there's just a bunch to talk about on Friday. We're going to get into all of that good shit, all the good stuff, the fighting that went down between 3-6 Mafia and Bone Thugs. I want to get into all of that versus shit on Friday with E. So we're going to get into a lot of that good shit as we get into this week. So, again, week 13 going into week 14. Like I always say around this time, though, you know what we got to do? We're going to hit this intro on.
What about tomorrow? Time for us to start winning is now.
Hey, they don't like us, we don't like them. Nothing wrong with that.
At the end of the day, it's the same three things you've had to do in 35 that you got to do now in 2018.
I do not see no holes on this wall.
You got to run the ball.
Barkley off the left side. Here he goes.
You gotta stop the run.
Tyreek Hill lines up in the backfield.
The ball pops free, and it's recovered by Harrison.
A snack for Damon Harrison early.
And you gotta pressure the passer.
Wentz hangs in, holds it down. Down he goes. And an early sack by Olivier Vernon.
Two kinds of players in this league, folks. There are guys that play professional football, and there are professional football players. And the professional football players are the guys we want. I don't want guys that want to win. I want guys that hate to lose.
Odell Beckham Jr. down the sideline for the touchdown.
Giants fans, you are now listening to the hottest show on the planet, The Shakedown. Here to give you everything you need to know on your New York football Giants are Black Friday.
Welcome to the New York football Giants, Saquon Barkley, a.k.a. the Golden Child.
Eve of Trophy.
Do you know who Alec Ogletree is? Like, I'm asking you for real.
Really?
But do you know who he is?
J-Rock.
Man,
we're going 16-0, huh?
16-0, bro. How dare you say anything worse?
How
dare you?
Out
your mind.
You know
you
just drafted
the
Messiah.
Only and the one and only, Shake Montana.
If that man was a prospect like a Peyton Manning or a Joe Montana, like I've been saying the whole fucking time, you don't pass up on this talent. You don't do it.
Now here is your host, Shakes Montana.
Yo, what's up, everybody? How y'all doing? Ooh. Ooh. I know y'all hear that. That hot fire. I didn't mean to click it, but it's hot fire. As we proceed, ladies and gentlemen, to give you more of what you need, give me 1 second here. There we go. There we go. That's interesting. Sorry. It's got some things going on here. Not your average Tuesday. Not you in the box. Twitter, Facebook, and some Instagrams. If you want to check them out, you know, not too much, not too crazy. As we get into this NFL Week 14, we will discuss all the games from the weekend, including last night's game, a very exhilarating Monday Night Football game with a ton of passing and a ton of points. We'll get into that later. Here we go. Thursday Night Football. You know, a little different from last Thursday, being Thanksgiving in 3 games, but the cool thing about this is both these teams played last Thanksgiving. So it was a full week of rest for both teams, like a regular week for them. I don't know why I said it so many times, but they got 7 days rest, both teams. And the Dallas Cowboys come out there and won the game 27-17. On Sunday, we're going to start it out and get it out. Buccaneers get the Falcons. Buccaneers defeat the Falcons 30-17 as the Cardinals defeat the Bears 33-22. The Chargers taking out the Bengals 41-22. Lions getting their first win of the year 29-27 over the Vikings. Oh, my goodness, it was amazing. Dolphins beating the Giants 20-9. Eagles beating the Jets 33-18 while the Colts take on the Houston Texans, mollywhop them 31-0. Washington football team, formerly known as the Redskins, defeating the Las Vegas Raiders by 2 points, 17-15. Jacksonville picking another shellacking, 37-7 from the Los Angeles Rams. Seem to be clicking on all cylinders, see if that can be a motivational booster for the Rams moving forward. Steelers getting a late game victory over the Ravens as Ravens go for two to win the game, 20-19 Steelers over the Ravens in the afternoon game on Sunday. And then the 49ers falling to the Seahawks 30-23. Man, that was an interesting one there. Sunday Night Football has the Chiefs beating the Broncos 22-9, a very interesting matchup there. Kind of close to, you know, late there until the Chiefs break it out. a very, very low performance from Patrick Mahomes again, but we'll get into that as well. And then, of course, last night's game, the slobber knocker of an AFC East matchup between the Buffalo Bills and the New England Patriots. The Buffalo Bills had one job. They couldn't do it. New England 14-10. Taking over the AFC first place in all of that conference. Again, that was a team that was, I believe, 1-3 to start the year. 1-4. Yeah, 1-4 on a 7-game losing streak, or 7-game winning streak now. 8-4 for the New England Patriots. as we look ahead to Week 14, Thursday Night Football up here in a couple days, is going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers taking on the Minnesota Vikings. And give me 1 second here. I'm sorry about that. I clear my throat and get a little drink of water there. Thursday Night Football sees the Minnesota Vikings fresh off a loss to the defeated Detroit Lions. Taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers in Minnesota. 6-5-1 Pittsburgh traveling to Minnesota 5-7. Chicago Bears. Oh, sorry, we'll get into that one later because that is Sunday night. In the morning games, we'll start with the Ravens taking on the Browns. 8-4 Ravens taking on the 6-6 Browns coming off the bye. Ravens coming off a tough loss to the division rival Pittsburgh Steelers. Tennessee Titans taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars. 8-4, 10-2. We'll like to see how the Jaguars do or how the Titans do coming off their bye as well. Sorry there. As we move on to the next game in the morning slot, The Las Vegas Raiders travel to Kansas City, 6-6. Las Vegas traveling to 8-4. Kansas City, 1 p.m. matchup. Kansas City 9.5 favorites in that one, as well as Tennessee 9-point favorites in their game. Cleveland 2.5-point favorites over Baltimore. Moving on to the next matchup in the morning, afternoon for the East Coast. First slate of games there is going to be, the New York Jets taking on the New Orleans Saints. That's going to be a good one as it pertains to two teams. Don't seem to be going anywhere as of late, and the New Orleans Saints just, you know, decimated the injury. See what the Jets have for them. Divisional game here as the Dallas Cowboys travel to Washington to take on the formerly known Redskins. 8-4 Dallas, 6-6 Washington. That could be a very, very swinging divisional matchup for the Cowboys, as you can tell by their records how close they are. Again, another divisional matchup in the NFC South, however, Atlanta Falcons traveling to Carolina to take on the Panthers, 5-7 records for both of them. As you move on again to another early game there in the early window, Seattle traveling all the way to Houston to take on the Texans. Should be a motivational booster for the Seahawks, but we'll see how that plays out for them. Afternoon games go as this. 4:05 kickoff for the Broncos and the Lions. Broncos at 6-6, hosting the Detroit Lions at 1-10-1. Denver is an 8-point favorite. The Los Angeles Chargers taking on the New York Giants at 7-5 and 4-8. Los Angeles 10.5-point favorites. Ooh, that is an interesting one there. As we move on to the next one here, San Francisco 49ers traveling to Cincinnati in a rematch of a Super Bowl from a long time ago. 6-6 San Francisco 49ers taking on the 7-5 Cincinnati Bengals. And then, of course, the Buffalo Bills are taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tampa Bay at 9-3 and Buffalo at 7-5 off their Monday night loss to the New England Patriots. As I move on to the next game here, the Los Angeles Rams going on down. The Phoenix take on the 10-2 division rival Arizona Cardinals from Monday Night Football. That wraps up your Week 14 matchups. As we move back to Week 13, like we always do, you know, you dwell on the past, you move forward, and then you dwell back on the past again, because that's what we do as NFL football fans. So, here we go. Thursday Night Football is definitely not a game I'm going to spend too much time on. When you look at the score, you look at the teams, New Orleans have shelled themselves, missing QB1, missing WR1, missing RB1, missing left tackle 1, missing right tackle 1, missing some defensive players. New Orleans is just not New Orleans right now. So this is a game that I think everyone had Dallas winning, especially since both teams were coming off of week-long rest instead of 3 days. I think it was interesting and awesome for the NFL to do that to Dallas and New Orleans, giving them the Thanksgiving game off of 3 days rest, but then giving them another Thursday night game and then now a Sunday game. Giving them, you know, some time to rest up there and get healthy, which is kind of cool. Moving on to Sunday, a game I'm not going to spend too much time on here. Buccaneers manhandling the Falcons. They look kind of close there. Tom Brady throws a pick six, probably go ahead and throws another touchdown and closes that game out 30-17. Not too much to talk about there. That's just a divisional game. It started off the way it should have, close like it did last time. And then, of course, Tampa Bay running away with it. Andy Dalton tried everything he could. That run game, that defense just could not hold up in Chicago, especially since a lot of people didn't know how Arizona was going to do in that weather. They did well. I think you can say move on. I think they are ready to take on an opponent in bad weather. How they will, if they can consistently perform like that, is another question, especially if it's in a much colder climate, a little bit north maybe. We'll see how that works out. But, of course, if they got a plan there, their beautiful stadium out here in Arizona for the playoffs, every team will love that. Sunny and 75 is amazing to get when you're in playoff time. But, again, Cardinals handled that game pretty easily, win by 11 points, 33-22. A game that I will spend a little bit of time on is a game that got really, really close and then really, really not. And that's going to be the Los Angeles Chargers and the Cincinnati Bengals. It started off. Like, you know, you thought any of it, any It started off like this game should have, I guess, or people thought it would be, quote-unquote, sarcasm. Touchdown, fumble, field goal, interception, touchdown, punt. That was back and forth. Los Angeles touchdown, Cincinnati fumble. Los Angeles field goal, Cincinnati interception. Los Angeles touchdown, Cincinnati punt. There's a 16-0 hole, 16-0 hole that the Cincinnati Bengals put themselves into at one point being 24-0 after the Chargers get another touchdown. Bengals crawl all the way back. Now, this is a gritty team. In the second quarter, they get a, you know, they get a touchdown. They go for two. They don't get it. they get another touchdown. They go for two. They don't get it as well that time. They're trying. They come out of halftime, get the field goal. They get a fumble on the Chargers. They get a touchdown. It's 22-24 with about 9 minutes. Sorry, let's get this correct here. Two-point conversion. Joe Burrow throws. Anyway, that was a touchdown, 7-yard run, 2-point conversion. Mixon gets a 7-yard run touchdown. They try to tie the game up with a 3-point conversion. It fails. It's 22-24 here with 7:10 left in the third. And then it's punt, 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 fumble, touchdown. I just think this is the turning point, obviously, in the game for the teams here. The defense has stepped up. A total of 4 yards between both teams in Los Angeles having it twice. After Cincinnati comes within 2 points, defense has stepped it up. They wouldn't let either offense do anything on them, and then that's when Los Angeles has stepped it up even more. They got a fumble and a touchdown. Joe Mixon fumbling the football, brings it back, makes it a fumble seven. A fumble seven being 31-22 at this point. No, how did that work? Not yet. And the extra point is good, making it 31-22 at this point. And the Chargers just never look back. Defense takes over. They get a couple key sacks there on Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow and them got to punt it directly after getting that fumble six. And then Chargers marked right down the field, 53 yards in 4 plays, 38-22, and that's all she wrote. Joe Burrow, interception and on downs to end the game. He tried. He's just not there yet. Give him another year, and I think that man's ready to go. Los Angeles, just a better team defensively, able to get everything locked in and in place as that was the key for them. It was a very interesting game. You found out a lot about the Bengals and a lot about the Chargers moving forward. Now with the Chargers sitting there at making sure 7-5 now in the heat of this playoff race, a team that we definitely didn't see like the Bills. Down here at that 7-5. It's going to be an interesting one moving forward. Another game here that I did want to get into was Seattle and San Francisco. The way this game went, the way this thing did, pretty much just it was fun to watch. You get back and forth, 7-7, 14-7, 17-7, 14-17, 14-23, 14, 23-21. This is a close game throughout, a nice, hard-fought NFC West divisional battle. Seattle ends up getting the touchdown to Tyler Lockett, the beautiful touchdown pass to Tyler Lockett over the shoulder fade on 3rd and 6 from the San Francisco 12. Puts them up 30-23 with 2:28 left in the third. And we just saw a plethora of bad offense. Punt, 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 fumble downs, end of game. A very much defensive battle that went from, fun to watch. It looked like it was going to be a high-scoring game. And then there throughout the entire fourth quarter, nobody was able to score. Nobody was able to move forward. So that was the end-all, be-all. I just wanted to get in that because that is the most interesting part about this. And the reason I bring that up is to bring up the NFC playoff picture because as much as we're going to get into the AFC here in just a minute, the NFC picture is just a lot of fun to talk about when you talk about 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and even interesting enough that New York Giants there at 13-4-8, even though it's probably going to be a 4-13 year for them. Even here in week 14, hopes can be high in this NFC playoff picture because, look, there's a couple games that separate these teams. San Francisco here in the 7th seed, Washington in the 6th seed, Los Angeles Rams in the 5th seed. It's 6-6 from 6th seed down. It's not as if, and we'll start at New Orleans, who's 5-7, 6-6 and 5-7, that's one game, people. So this is going to get real, the word I'm going to use is raunchy getting forward, moving forward because, look, 1, 2, and 3 are pretty much lost. I think we can look at Arizona, Green Bay, and Tampa Bay as the end-all, be-all when it comes to the NFC. Those three teams are head and shoulders above everybody else, and they'll be fighting out for the number one seed here over the next few weeks, and we'll see who gets it. Green Bay holding the tiebreakers over Tampa Bay and Arizona on head-to-head tiebreakers as it stands right now is interesting, but the way that this goes out, the way that this finishes out, those three teams are just doing what they got to do. When you look at Dallas, when you look at Los Angeles Rams, when you look at Washington, San Francisco, Philly, Minnesota, Carolina, Atlanta, and New Orleans, it's win out, and they're in. There's no doubt about it. Philly wins out. Washington wins out. Minnesota, they're all in. 10 wins, 7 losses. 10 wins. It was the magical number a year ago when it was 16 games. It's the magical number now when it's 17 games. 10 wins. 9 wins possibly could do it, but it's looking like 10 wins is going to get you in. It's just the way the cookie crumbles. We're looking at five more weeks. You got to win out. Win out, people. Win the F out. The issue and the fun thing about this is a lot of these teams are going to have to play each other, considering a lot of these teams are divisional rivals. Look, we got San Francisco and I think San Francisco and Los Angeles, I believe, play each other in week 14. There's just a lot of implications when it comes to these playoff teams and things of that nature. So let's get all the way deep into this AFC because this is a conference that is going to be fun to watch. And the 2-4 New England Patriots that were after week 6 are now the 9-4 Patriots in the first seed, 8-4 Tennessee in the second seed, Baltimore 8-4 in the third seed, Kansas City 8-4 in the fifth seed, Los Angeles Chargers in the fifth seed at 7-5, Cincinnati at 7-5 in the sixth seed, Buffalo at 7-5 in the 7th seed, Pittsburgh 6-5-1 in the 8th seed, Indianapolis 7-6, Las Vegas 6-6, Cleveland 6-6, Denver 6-6. Now we're not going to go to Miami because I think 7 losses now is going to be a hard thing to come out of. But look at 6-7, 6-7 Miami. Now look again, Houston Texans only team. There's 31 teams still viable for the NFL playoffs, so we'll see how many teams can lock up divisions. There are some divisional games that can be locked up this weekend, some divisional playoff implications, divisional crowns being won over the weekend, playoff seeding still up for grabs in a lot of these places. But AFC, NFC is just going to be really going to be fun to watch the AFC unfold, considering we have a team in the New England Patriots who are now the best team in all of the NFL. They can run the football. They have a top-notch defense who just shut down, who was the heir apparent, supposed to be the greatest thing since sliced bread, MVP Josh Allen. Shut him down. Shut him completely down. Didn't do anything. 15 for 30, 120-something, 130-something, and some wind. Come on, a little bit of wind. You're supposed to have one of the strongest arms in all the NFL, Josh Allen. You had some crappy seasons to start. You progressed. Third season, this is supposed to be you, MVP, running this division. Still looking up to Big Daddy in New England and Bill Belichick while they spanking your ass on Monday Night Football on primetime. Get your ass together, Buffalo. This is going to be the scenarios as we move forward into this? Here we go. Sorry, breaking this down, breaking this down. All right, here we go. We're just going to pretty much run through the playoff seeding, what you need to know, the remaining schedule, about the teams. We'll just run through the top two teams of the way it works out here. Again, the Patriots. They did take over the number one team in the AFC on Monday night, like we just discussed, against the Bills. They also lead Tennessee, Baltimore, and Kansas City by half a game in the conference standings as the Patriots head into their bye week. So, again, Patriots are the last team, one of the last few teams heading to the bye. They got to play 13 straight games. Now they get to head to the bye, get healthy, and then get ready. They have the bye at Colts versus the Bills versus the Jaguars at the Dolphins. Man, after the way that it is, they just smacked the Bills. The Colts seem like that might be the only challenge for them, considering they can run the football with Jonathan Allen, and Carson Wentz has been able to move the football and get it to his playmakers as of late. As it concerns for Buffalo, following their loss, they move all the way down to the number 7 seed in the AFC, but they're just a half a game ahead of Pittsburgh because of that tie they had to the defeated Detroit Lions. So the Bills lose the conference record tiebreaker to the Los Angeles at number 5 and Cincinnati at number 6. Again, their remaining schedule is not easy. Buccaneers, Patriots, Panthers, Falcons, Jets. No bye for them. They've already had it. 5 games left at the Buccaneers, at home in Buffalo against the Panthers, at the Patriots, at home against the Falcons, and at home against the Jets. We consider those last 2 games probably the guineas, but the way this team has been playing, we'll have to see, especially with the injuries as it pertains to their running back position. As we move on to the AFC North, we're going to talk about the Baltimore Ravens. Again, Baltimore stays in first place in the AFC thanks to Cincinnati. If Cincinnati was able to pull out that win against Los Angeles, it would be a whole different story. We'd be talking a big difference about Joe Burrow to moving into Week 14. But the way that takes over, the way that moves is, but the three teams in the AFC North are separated by game. The Ravens beat the Chiefs. They have the number 3 seed in the conference, but they don't play. They don't play a team under 500 rest of the season, y'all. Ravens have a schedule: Browns, Packers, Bengals, Rams, Steelers. Ravens have the most danger of missing the playoffs because of this remaining schedule. Good defenses, good offenses, some teams that are really, really vying, and then of course you've got the 3 divisional matchups against 3 teams that just want to mollywop you because they know your quarterback is a running back and he can't throw. We'll get into that later. That is going to be an interesting one. Cincinnati, again, they lose to the Chargers on Sunday. It keeps them out of the AFC North lead, but just by a game. Again, they got to play the Bengals, or they got to play the Ravens later as well. They all the way at the 6th seed in the AFC. Again, they're just a half a game above Pittsburgh for the final spot, but hold the conference record tiebreaker over the Bills. The loss of the Chargers cost Cincinnati position of the number 5 seed in the AFC because they would have had the head-to-head tiebreaker. So, again, the Chargers, you know, or the Bengals, if they would have beat the Chargers, they would have, you know, it would have really helped their seeding, but they're still in there. They're at the 6th seed. We'll see how the Bengals can do, especially with this remaining schedule, at the 49ers, at the Broncos, at home versus the Ravens, at home versus the Chiefs, and then on the road to Cleveland. Cincinnati's got a long road ahead of them, but again, 4 games might get you into this playoffs. 10-7 might get you there. Pittsburgh is Pittsburgh. They're in the playoff hunt. They got a big victory over the Ravens. Ravens going for 2. Again, not very many people can make the move that Lamar Jackson made to make the defender miss to be able to throw that football. 99% of the other quarterbacks in the league can make that throw. So it's a give and take when you get to Lamar. He's going to do something that 98% of the quarterbacks can't do, but then he's going to fail at the other thing that, you know, maybe 95 of them can get done. So it's a give and take. You hope that he can get that thing together and, you know, get the football to the right position and Andrews catches it. But they lose to the Steelers. The crazy thing is the tie is really hurting the Steelers right now, and it would be really helping them in this divisional race. It is against the NFC, so it's not that huge, but it is a half a game. So it gets them in the AC behind Buffalo a half a game. And then, of course, they are at the Vikings at home again at the Vikings on Thursday night in 2 days. Let's not forget that. And then again, at home against the Titans, at home against the Chiefs, on the road against the Browns, and on the road or at home against the Browns and on the road against the Ravens. It's going to be one of those interesting finish to the season for the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Cleveland Browns are the Cleveland Browns. Ravens, Raiders, Packers, Steelers, Bengals. Put a fork in them, they're done. Better luck next year, Baker. As we move to the AFC South, the Titans are the Titans there, the number two seed. We'll see if Derrick Henry comes back. He's still mind-boggling. He is the third leading rusher in the NFL in the week 13, and he hasn't played for almost over a month. Wowzers. So that's going to be interesting to see when they come back. They don't have a very menacing schedule for the Tennessee down the road, at home against Jacksonville, on the road in Pittsburgh, on the road in San Fran, at home against the Dolphins, at home against the Texans. You plan to finish 3-2, 4-1 would be nice down the stretch. Excuse me, sorry about that. And so Tennessee has a nice season stretch coming up for them, especially with their defense getting healthy and getting back on track. Indianapolis, you got everything ahead of you. You got a bye week, you get healthy, you get back. Home against New England, at Arizona, home against the Las Vegas Raiders, and then at Jacksonville. Vegas, who knows what team that's going to be there in week 17 there. And then, of course, the Cardinals and then the Patriots. So you got two games that are tough, two games that you know you're going to get in Jacksonville. But, of course, the Raiders, that could be a team that's looking to the offseason already. So that'll be interesting as we move forward there. And then, of course, AFC West is the AFC West. So a couple 6-6 teams, and then the Chargers at 7-5 and the Chiefs at 8-4. The Chiefs are doing everything they can to stay in it. They're at the 4th seed now, but with the few losses they had at the beginning of the year, and the way that they're playing, it's going to be rough for them to get three straight wins to go back to a third straight Super Bowl. We'll see how that plays out for them. We'll get this out of the way. Chiefs remaining schedule, home against the Raiders, on the road against the Chargers, home against the Steelers, on the road against the Bengals, and then on the road against the Broncos. A very tough stretch against some tough divisional opponents, all AFC opponents as well. Can't be losing more than one or two. It's going to be a tough stretch for them. Chargers down the stretch here. And taking on the Giants at home, Chiefs at home, Texans on the road, Broncos at home, Raiders on the road finishing out their season. Raiders finishing out their season at the Chiefs, at the Browns, versus the Broncos, at the Colts, and versus the Chargers. Broncos finishing out versus the Lions, at home against the Lions, at home against the Bengals, on the road against the Raiders and the Chargers, and then again back home against the Kansas City Chiefs. And that runs out your AFC. That's how it's going to look for the AFC. It's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be just the way I think a lot of people anticipated the AFC to play out. So I don't think you heard the sarcasm because I said it so cleanly. It's nothing like anybody anticipated. Buffalo at 7, New England at 1, Tennessee at 3, Kansas City, even though on their winning ways, what really are they? Can they get it together, be the high-powered offense and the defensive stopping power to stop actual legit playoff quarterbacks? Can they do it? That's going to be interesting to see what teams in the AFC can really get it done. And to me right now, there's no team that's out there screaming, it's me, it's me, it's me. This is the most wide-open conference I think I've ever seen. This is the most wide-open any conference has ever been in my existence, and I'm lying because it's been some pretty close conferences, but look at this, man. One team with 9 wins. Not a single team in the AFC has 10 wins going into week 14. That is an anomaly in my opinion. We got two teams in the NFC that are going to get 10 wins this week, most likely. We got another one who's going to get a week win number 11. We have three teams with 10 wins going into week 15, where you might only have one, we're only going to possibly have one in New England. This is a new AFC. There's no top dog. There's no nothing. And the fact that the New England Patriots have a perfect run game. They have a perfect defense, and they've got the greatest head coach of all time in Bill Belichick, who said, if you're going to stop me, you're going to stop the run, and they couldn't do it. It's just the way it's going to go. It's just the way it's going to be. The AFC is going to be the most wide open we've ever seen. And then when they get to the Super Bowl, the NFC's opponent's going to mollywop them. That's just how it's going to be. There's no AFC team that I look at that sits here and says, I'm going to go to the playoffs, I'm going to run through the AFC, and then I'm going to go up against New England. I'm going to go up against Tampa Bay. I'm going to go up against Arizona. I'm going to go up against Dallas. I'm going to go up against Green Bay or even Los Angeles Rams and beat them. Nah, I don't care. Kansas City, Baltimore, Tennessee, New England, they're going to have a fun time going through that AFC, get to the NFC, get to the bowl game, get their shit pushed in. That's all there is to it. It's the NFC Super Bowl to lose from here on out. Completer teams, better quarterbacks, and that's just the way it goes. Moving on to the NFC, however, it's just fun to watch as we look at the rest of the wild card play out. We kind of got a good sense, Arizona, Green Bay, Tampa Bay, Dallas, those people are probably going to win their divisions. And then we look at Washington, San Francisco, Philly, Minnesota, Carolina, and Atlanta, and New Orleans. And if any of those teams can go on a late push here, get to 10-7, get to 10 wins first, I think has the best opportunity here to clinch a wild card berth. And you know, of course, it's easy for Los Angeles. They've only got two more to get to 10. I think they get two or three more wins. It looks like it's a cakewalk for them with their schedule too, so it's not going to be entirely too rough. It's not going to be entirely too tough for them to handle what comes at them in the following week. So the NFC, like I said, as we move forward here, the NFC is going to be as it stands, it'll be the four teams: Arizona, Green Bay, Dallas, and Tampa Bay. Those four divisions probably hold division banners by the end of week 14, end of week 15. Those guys will move on. The order will be determined how they finish again. Green Bay holding head-to-head tiebreakers over Tampa Bay and Arizona as it speaks. Head-to-head over Tampa Bay with a better conference record. Head-to-head over Arizona because AJ does not turn around. So as we move forward, that'll be interesting race who gets the week off going into the wild card weekend. But NFC is not as wide open. 1, 2, 3, and 4. You can pretty much pen them in at 1, 2, 3, and 4, and then just pencil in the number. You can erase a number and put that in there any way you want. So we'll see what Los Angeles can bring this weekend, but I don't think they have anything for a healthy Arizona team at all. So we already saw that. So we'll look at Los Angeles trying to get two wins following this week, probably move into 8-5 and see if they can get to 10-5 after that. If not, they'll be in the heat of this thing as well, especially if Washington can sprinkle a win or two here in a row, and especially if San Francisco can. That's going to be an interesting one, especially with San Francisco playing them, I believe, here in a couple of weeks. We do have LRP on the line with us, sir. We are talking week 13 going into week 14. Just talking the playoff picture as it stands. We were getting into AFC, NFC, pretty much NFC not as wide open as the AFC following last night's New England 14-10 victory over the Buffalo Bills. Anything you'd like to talk about Monday Night Football or these playoffs before we wrap up and get on out of here in about 25 minutes?
No. It was a cold-ass windy game last night. But 62 times the Patriots ran the ball. I guess the only thing to add is just the sheer creativity and willingness to alter your game plan and stick with the game plan, regardless. And then, you know, creating and throwing in some more ingredients into that game plan to make sure that it works. I mean, man, I think the stat was like almost 89% of the time last night that the Patriots started a extra left tackle, you know what I mean, jumbo set the whole daggone game, you know, because they weren't confident, or, and rightfully so, you know, Mac Jones, that was a first of his kind. That win was crazy. I mean, every time the ball tried to get in the air, the wind swatted it out of it and said, get your ass out of the air. What are you doing? You know what I mean? I didn't watch the whole thing, obviously, but just a hell of a game plan. Run the ball, and they did it, and they won. As far as that, man, you know, I follow your lead. What you talking about?
We can get into last night's game, which is, I don't know if creativity is the word I would use, considering it was hand the football off, run the left, run the right. They did throw a couple of reverses in there. But the creativity, that's a stretch for me. But I will say the willingness to stick with the game plan, regardless of what was happening now, again, what was happening is it was working. The game plan was run the football. They bust out a 60-something yard touchdown run. It's working. You're going to get the ball, pounding the football. They throw it three times. It's 45 rushes to three pass attempts, 95%, I believe, rushing attempts. 61% is the 6-0 linemen package that you were going at. 61% of the plays were 6-0 linemen. That is a staggering statistical anomaly when it comes to offensive linemen. You just don't do that in this day and age. It's a passing league. As much as even the Ravens like to run the football, they don't do that on a consistent basis. So, or even Cleveland. So this was we need to run the football. We cannot pass, and not either whether you like to say noodle arm for Mac Jones, whether you like to say rookie decisions, whether you like to say the wind is going super crazy, whatever. The game plan was run the football and keep it out of Mac Jones' hands as little as possible. Keep it in Mac Jones' hands as little as possible. And look, you have to believe. I have to believe Mac Jones was like, I threw that one pass to Jonnu, and I hoped he caught it. Let's just not do that again. And you feel like maybe that was the case. Bill Belichick saying that, him being the consummate professional, again, this is everything that's coming out from him today is, you know, the first thing he does when he gets to Bryce Young, the guy at Alabama now, he's talking how Mac Jones was in the film room the entire time, taught him how to be that guy. He gets to New England, he's in the film room. He doesn't check his phone. Peyton Manning says, hey, look, you know, you haven't texted me all week. What's going on? I haven't checked my phone since Wednesday. We're here Saturday. What's going on? How does that work for you? So Mac Jones is quintessentially what the Bill Belichick cookie cutter of a quarterback is going to be. Sit down, shut up, do what I tell you, look at film. I'll tell you what to do. I'll tell you what's best. We saw Man in the Mirror or whatever, Man of the Year or whatever, Tom Brady's thing. He started his career, but Belichick was walking him into the film room like, look at this. This is what the defense is going to do. This is what the offense is going to do. This is what the defense is going to do. This is what the offense is going to do. Hey, on this time of play, you're going to do this. With this defense, with this, you're going to do this. They cut to a play on Sunday, and the exact same thing happened. He's doing that now with Mac Jones. Again, higher ceiling and a higher floor that he started with in Mac Jones than Tom Brady in 2001. Then he has now to 2021. That's why you get 9-4 first in the AFC straight out the box. So that's the great thing that I see last night, and of course, as wide open as I say the AFC is, it's really not. It runs through Foxborough. You're going to have to go through Foxborough to get to the Super Bowl, and with the BB at holding the clipboard and telling his team what to do, and the quintessential Mac Jones 10 out there doing whatever he needs to win the game, whether it's throw three passes, or throw three touchdowns, he will do it. So we will see. And they got to face each other again in a couple weeks. So we'll see what the Bills bring to them in a different setting in Foxborough, what that weather is going to be like. Is it snowy? Is it beautiful? We will see. We also have Shakes with us. Shakes, my friend. We were just talking about some NFC, AFC playoffs, implications, some games going on, things of that nature. Anything you want to discuss over the weekend that happened, you know we will be talking, or we'll be talking here in a couple hours. So anything you'd like to discuss from either Monday night, maybe even Sunday afternoon, maybe even two-point conversions, I don't know. Whatever you want to talk about, the floor is yours, sir.
Please, God. Listen, these damn games this past weekend, I was terrible in predicting them. I've been doing good all season long. Really, have been. Yeah, I mean, I was even in first place of the overall shit at one point. But this last week, I'm not saying that I had a bad week. I went 500. I was 7-7. But it was like the losses. I'm like, really? Motherfucker lost to them? It was a lot of upsets. It was a lot of shit that I really did not see coming. Pause. But it happened. This is the NFL. Parity. You get these weeks. So, on that note, I also want to get everybody geared up because we didn't have a Montana Mondays yesterday, and that wasn't because of the loss. I really tried to make it. I really did. And I almost did. I almost did make it for y'all, man. And as soon as I was about to set the show up, somebody else called me like, yo, we got to do this. Oh, shit. So, sorry, but we here now. We getting y'all two shows, man, thanks to Nacho in the Box with Cheese. So later on, I will be doing the fantasy scores, standings, and upcoming matchups. I want to let y'all know, like, what y'all done in the prediction pool, but I don't know. I think I probably want to save that and wait for Thursday. But every time I wait for Thursday, it's some shit fucks up. So I don't know. But we'll think about that throughout the episode.
If you want to just run them off right now and just do what we did over the week, and then you only got to worry about the overall by Thursday, if that's what you're trying to do,
yeah,
then you can do that right now.
Yeah, that's pretty good. And also, I wanted to speak on a certain topic in the second show as far as quarterbacks is concerned. I don't want to give up too much, but I want to give up a little bit to tease, right? But I have something in store for the next show that's coming on at 7 o'clock in the hour or whatever, but a pretty interesting topic. Now, as far as which I did, because I don't know if I even told y'all what y'all did the previous week. It's been so crazy. So I'm going to do that as well. So as far as week 12, okay, week 12, everybody. Week 12. Don't get it confused. Don't get it fucked up. Week 12. Me, Shakes, I went 9-6. LRP, he went 7-8. Black Freezy went 10-5. I believe that was... No, it wasn't. Okay. Black Freezy went 10-5. J-Rock went 8-7. Either Chose went from the Bronx, went 9-6. The Media Man Trey went 8-7. Nacho in the Box with Cheese and Easy both went 9-6. Chill Will went 10-5. Dan C went 9-6. And the King of the Week that week was Charlie. Yeah, Charlie. Wow. Good shit, Charlie. Jackass was LRP. All right. Now, as for week 13, this last week, that was really crazy week. I didn't really get to say what I had down on air, I don't believe. Maybe I did. I'm not sure. I can't recall. But either way, week 13, I went 7-7, like I said earlier. Not a good week for me. It was mediocre. LRP went 9-5. Black Freezy went 8-6. J-Rock went 10-4. Either chose one from the Bronx, also went 7-7. Trey, the media man, Trey went 9-5. The jackass of the week this week is Nacho in the Box with Cheese at 6-8. Easy went 10-4. And Sharon, the kings of the week. They all three are kings. Chillwell, Dancy, Charlie, all went 11-3, being the kings of the week this week. That is how you did in the prediction pool. This week, I will let y'all know how you did overall on Thursday, or where y'all at, where y'all overall standings at right now. But that is what happened in week 12 and week 13.
Now you can do the overall now. You're not going to have to wait. You don't got to worry about it on Thursday. That's, you know, that's too much mind. Just knock it out now.
I'm going to add them all up and shit. So I did it good for Thursday.
Alrighty. While we're out of here, while we're at it here, go ahead. I wanted to ask you about Baltimore since I got you here. I didn't want to spend a lot more time on the other subject in the next show. So let's talk a little bit about Baltimore. And then, of course, last night's game with Josh Allen coming up shorter than many me, trying to throw the football in 60-mile-an-hour winds. Do you want to touch on Baltimore first or last night, however you want to do it, the floor is yours.
I ain't going to say too much on Baltimore. Of course, y'all know I'm not pissed off at the game. I kind of already, like, I expect that because every time I say this, people be like, oh, no, ain't Cleveland Pittsburgh's rivals? Ain't Cleveland no Baltimore rivals? Look. They all hate each other. But what I'm trying to tell you is that this Ravens-Steelers rivalry is a serious rivalry. I mean, seriously, you cannot rock any Pittsburgh Steelers banner out here without hearing somebody's mouth or saying fuck you or anything like that, okay? So the rivalry is very deep. And whenever they play, there are always good games. I love a Ravens-Steeler game. If I can go all year long without watching any games besides the Ravens and Steelers game, I'm good. I'm happy. I'm happy. And that even includes Giants games. If they tell me all I could do is watch a Ravens and Steelers game one time, all that, you just get one game out the season, that is my game. That is my game that I want to watch. It's always great. And this didn't disappoint. This was a great game. Went down to the last minute. Pittsburgh Steelers won it. Congratulations to my sister's favorite team, my uncle's favorite team. I got a lot of Steelers fans in my family. Fuck them. But shout-outs to them for the victory. And, yeah, that's all I got to say about that. It was a good game, though, man. Watt, man. He's serious.
I know, some people are going to sit there and still be like, what do you mean it's a series result? What are they, 2000 or 1996? It's not even that, oh, yeah, but if you know your history, you know that that team was actually the Cleveland Browns. And they picked up shot. They moved to Baltimore. I think that's the way that went. And they hated them. They absolutely hated the Browns from the very beginning, and it transferred over when they moved over to Baltimore. So it was just a lot of hatred, a lot of anger, a lot of mad, and all that good stuff. So in Baltimore, you know, they got their team snuck out in the middle of the night. They get Cleveland's team, quote-unquote, and that's how that whole thing started. So you get Cleveland and Pittsburgh rivalry just carried on over, and Pittsburgh's absolutely hated Baltimore since before. So that whole division is a bloody mess when it comes to how much they hate each other. It goes back more than, you know, a lot of people I think even realize, especially with the dating of the conference and then, of course, those teams. Real quick, last night, it was last night. We'll get over it. It's just the most recent game. The overreaction is that the New England Patriots are now the end-all, be-all in the AFC, and that it's just the way it's going to go. So, since it's just us three, it's about 3 minutes here of the live content. I only put it on for an hour, and I started a little early there. So that's how that's going to go. We'll go a little bit later because I want to ask these two gentlemen a couple questions before we move out of this. And it was just going to be, who are your, after week 13, moving into week 14, who is the quintessential favorite in each conference? Who do you think still has a stranglehold or may be the new favorite for you? Or if you want to just stick with what your preseason picks were, what you've been, it doesn't even matter. So to me, as we move forward, starting right now, looking into week 13, I think, you know, week 14, I mean, after week 13, you got to put Arizona as the clear NFC favorite. And even though it still may be an overreaction, it's New England for me. I'm going New England. Those are not who I picked at the preseason. It has changed. And the fact that Arizona has been complete, and when they were, even when they were unhealthy, when you didn't have your starting quarterback and who people thought might be the MVP, they went 2-1 in that stretch with Colt McCoy. So they are a complete team. And then New England, like LRP said, like I reiterated last night, it was a consistency and a commitment to the game plan. Even though the game plan was working, you would like to see how it was if it wasn't working, if they were still able to stick to it, or if Mac Jones could have to throw the football. But we will see here if they continue to stick to that kind of game plan moving forward. But I do like the commitment from the entire 53, and that defense just coming up and showing out. Even though it was windy, they still wouldn't let them run. Again, you got to scratch your head at Buffalo and why that is, didn't stack the box, but that's for maybe another day. So for me, I'm going to put in the AFC New England and the NFC Arizona. LRP, my friend, you're heard. NFC, AFC favorites going into the playoffs as it stands going into week 14. Again, these things are really hard to place, and I don't expect anyone to put their heart and soul into something like this. But just from what you've seen so far, what do you think?
I think I'm going to stick with what I said last time. I think it was Ravens, Cardinals. I'm going to stick with that for right now. Because, I'm going to stick with that.
All right. I ain't even going to wait.
I did.
So listen,
I didn't mute myself. Go ahead, bro.
Nah, you good, bro. Let me just say this, right? I'm going to answer your question. I'm going to answer it. But I'm looking at it, and it's so crazy to me because on the AFC side, and it's not even to go to on the records. I'm not even going just on the records. I'm just going on just the team. And when I look on the AFC side, the top seven teams to me are all legit contenders. All legit contenders for a Super Bowl to me. And I'll break it down just for y'all people to know what the hell I'm talking about. New England Patriots, Tennessee Titans, Baltimore Ravens, Kansas City Chiefs, Los Angeles Chargers, Cincinnati Bengals, Buffalo Bills. Not one of those teams I say is like, oh, my gosh, they shouldn't even be there. Why are they there? Oh, no. All those teams, I can sit there and say, man, they're some dangerous teams if they get in that playoffs. So, to answer on the AFC side, I'm going to stick with my Purple City game, of course. But afraid of Patriots. I'm afraid of the Chiefs right now. They hot and angry. The Chargers, man, people sleeping on them, but they're a pretty scary team. which we got them next. But Cincinnati, scary team when you think about the offense, and then defensively, they not no bullshitting ass team. Like, you can't just have your way on Cincinnati neither. Like, I'm not saying they top defenses in the league, but you can't just have your way on them. And Buffalo, of course, right? They've been playing good all season long, but they've been kind of choking lately. But all those teams right there, to me, seem like they could possibly do it. And when I look at the NFC side of the things, I only see three teams that I'm seriously like, yeah, they can do something. Only three. Arizona, Green Bay, Tampa Bay. That's it. I don't think Dallas can do anything. I think they choke. Rams, same thing. I think they choke. Washington ain't shit. San Francisco ain't shit. Philly ain't shit. Minnesota ain't shit. Carolina, Atlanta ain't shit. New Orleans ain't shit. Okay? So, when I look at it, I'm like, man, AFC looks real dominant. NFC looks pretty mediocre. But on the AFC side, to answer your question, I'm going to go Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay. I'll put the by that one. Yeah, again, it's interesting when you look at the NFC and the AFC feeling that way. I think the question you have to ask yourself is, out of those seven and those three, I think the NFC three are still on top. And that's what everyone will be getting at is as much as and as deep as the AFC is, there's no team in the AFC that really poses a threat to three MVP quarterbacks and three top 10 defenses. I think those are the reason why NFC gets the push. But again, the deepness is definitely in the AFC. There's no denying that. The way that those seven teams all have the ability to make runs in the AFC playoffs and get a Super Bowl berth is the way it goes. And if you sit here and told me that Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow went off for three straight games, I'd believe you. So I think that's where it gets to the point where, and then if you told me Herbert and Allen and Williams went off for three straight games, you know, Hill and Mahomes did it again. Derrick Henry comes back and he goes off, who's still in third place going into week 14 as the rushing leader. That's wild in and of itself. New England goes off for three straight games. There's, like you said, those teams, they could do it. Do any of them really pose a threat to any of those NFC teams? Maybe Kansas City, but that's about it. The NFC, AFC debate is going to be heated. We'll get into that, I'm sure, into the next one. I'm glad we got a little bit of taste going on because your boy got a little hungry. But I'm going to go hop in the whip, go do a drive-through, get me some food, come back, eat it at this new desk I just put up. And then I will set the next show up, but I would like to get some closing statements. Or not close. Damn, I had the word. It wasn't closing. It was like before you close, prep. Maybe, no, could you do that in the morning? I don't know. It's been a while since I worked in the back. But anyway, I wanted to get some, you know, preemptive, you know. Say it again?
Intermission.
Yeah, and let's get an intermission going. So, as we get this intermission going here, let's get a couple things. These fellas want to get off their chest now before we get into that next show. And then that way they don't forget about it and we don't got to worry about it. Maybe it'll be a subject starter for the next one. Again, it will be a Giants venting hour. I did, however, want to get into one topic of mine, which we will start, and I think it's the same topic that Chicks wanted to get into, which is the QB one. We will definitely get into the three letters that are F, Q, and B, and then we'll get into a bunch of stuff as it pertains to your New York Football Giants. Again, Shakes, thank you for coming today. LRP, thank you for coming today. We'll start with Shakes. Anything you'd like to say before we get into this intermission?
Yeah, man, tune in an hour. We'll be back. I got something in store. I'm going to just go ahead and tease that so y'all can go ahead and mull that over in your minds while we take this break, and then y'all should have something good and juicy for us, pause, when we get back on here. But what I want to talk about in the next episode is for the New York Giants, what do you want to do? Because to me, Daniel Jones is done. So I'm giving you three options to think about. Which one do you want to do? And only these three options. There ain't no, I got another option. No. Answer with only these three options. Number
go
one.
Go slow for you, boy.
I will. Number one, you go out in free agency and you go out and take a chance on a Deshaun Watson. He's young. He's a great quarterback. But he has some off-field issues. Number two, do you go out in free agency and go sign a Russell Wilson if he's released, which I believe he will be? Do you sign a Russell Wilson? He wants to come to New York. His wife wants to come to New York. He's an MVP in his league. I believe if we grab him, we are Super Bowl contenders. But he's a little up there in the age and all that good shit, so maybe you don't want to go that route. But option three is to skip all that and to draft one with one of those two first-round picks that you got. That looks like it's going to be, I believe, 5 and 6 as we speak right now. The number 5 and 6 pick in the draft. Right now. That's what we have. Do you go for a quarterback? Those are the three options that I want y'all to mull over and to give me an answer. I will give y'all mine when we come back on air. But think that over, and let's talk about it. See y'all then.
Like you said, an hour is probably overshooting it, about 55 minutes now. Ran overtime, maybe 50 minutes. We'll be back 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, 4 p.m. West Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm going to get it right, get it down correctly. We will be back, all of us. And before we get out of here, LRP, anything you'd like to say before we get into this intermission? Anything you'd like to get off your chest before we move on and get on to that 7 o'clock hour? Silence is golden, like you are, like I always say. Thank you very much. Oh, the clip might have been on mute.
No, I ain't got none.
Okay, perfect. I figured. Perfect. Thank you. Beautiful. Thank you for your presence, both of you gentlemen. Just went over pretty much week 13 scores, week 14 scores, a little bit of insight on some of the games. Stayed off of one game in particular for a very good reason, because you want to hear about it, you're going to have to come back. You're going to have to come back and listen to the Shakedown Show or call in 914-205-5796. You're going to hear Shakes. We're going to get into that one. We're going to get real deep and dive into that one. I can't wait to get into that one. And then just so you guys are all clear, he was correct on back-to-back, but it is 5 Giants, 6 Jets, 7 Giants. So New Jersey, New York, whatever, they do have back-to-back, but it is Jets, Giants, Jets, as we speak, 5, 6, 7. As we're moving forward. So keep that in mind, and we will see y'all in an hour, less than an hour. We'll be right back, y'all.